Unibet. Episode 99. Schigapanze, Stürmer, Olympia, Ljubljana.
It's so fun to play when you're enjoying hockey, you know. When you're enjoying hockey game, that's when you have fun. But when you have that as a must, as a job, then, you know, that's where the problem starts.
Die Tribüne erhebt sich. Und der Hexenkessel kocht. Da bleibt kein Moment, um einmal durchzuatmen. Bring it on. Mit dem Torhänder abgefälscht und die Scheibe im Tor. Aus dem Nichts. Wie schön war das gemacht.
Unibet Hockey. O'Clock. It is indeed one of my biggest regrets that it took 99 episodes to finally get someone from Olympia Ljubljana on the Hockey O'Clock podcast. It's not just someone, it's probably the Slovenian hockey icon. Really, really happy to have him on the program. It's none other than Žiga Pance. And Žiga, great to have you on Unibet Hockey O'Clock.
Thank you. It's great to be the part of it. And I hope I will do the best I can to be the part of that episode.
I'm sure you will. And again, sorry to all the Slovenian hockey fans. Last year for a league preview, I had your head coach, Mitja Sivic, on the program with a little soundbite, but not for extended coverage, which you would have deserved, especially after the great year that you had last year. This year, a little bumpier. It's pretty much up and down, and I know you're a player who always strives for excellence, and of course every player wants to win every game, but why is the second year after Ljubljana's return to the league bumpier, not that easy, than the first year?
Yeah, really good question. I think last year, with us coming back into the league, I think it was, you know, something new for every other team that was in that league. You know, no one knew us really and everything. So we kind of, especially at the beginning, maybe they didn't took us the right way. You know, maybe they a little bit underestimated us, but we were in a great shape. Like this year, we did all things the same as the year before, but you know, once you do the same things, you know, the teams kind of, you know, recognize this, you know, you don't have that kind of advantage. People get you know, really ready and prepare for you. They watch all the videos and they analyze all the things. So of course it's harder, you know, and we're doing our best on the ice and off the ice, you know, to get ourselves ready. And it just comes down to that, you know. It's just up and down, like you said. It's endless story, you know. Like we play a good few games and then we're back where we were to square one. You know, we have a, you know, a little tougher game, undisciplined in the D zone and everything. And in that league, it costs everything. If you make a mistake, you make a turnover, those are the teams that, you know, they take advantage of it and they score goals.
Now, you've been on many winning programs, obviously on many teams. I have to admit, when I looked at the Unibet stats, that I was kind of surprised on how many teams you indeed played. But now that you're back in Ljubljana, now that you're way more experienced than your first time around, and after having seen so many different hockey places and having to not write the ship, I mean, a lot of hockey still has to be played, and you're currently on your way to qualify for the pre-playoffs, but just knowing that everybody in Ljubljana is striving to get better and put together a couple of wins from everything that you've seen in your career, is there kind of a winning formula for winning hockey games, something like the lowest common denominator of every successful team that have been on that they had?
Well, I wouldn't say that there's an actual formula to win a hockey game, but I'd say if you're mentally ready, if you're 100% into the game, like an entire team that's ready to compete on the highest level, I think there's, you know, you give everything out on the ice, you work for it your whole life, so you're always ready for that, and I think that's the key to win games, you know. But even I have to say that even when it comes to that you give everything, sometimes at the end the better team doesn't win, you know. It's hockey is I think it's a game of mistakes, you know. Whoever makes less mistakes wins the game, you know. It's just like that. So we're trying to, you know, we're better every game, you know. We're trying to get better every game, and I'm 100% sure that I think that losing streak that we're on right now, we're turning around, and eventually we'll do everything to get back on track.
And a lot of fans, especially in Ljubljana, I guess, sure, are looking forward to Ljubljana returning to its winning ways. The past weekend, and we're recording this on a Sunday. Obviously, the conversation comes out on Wednesday when you're going to play your next game against Villach. The past weekend, kind of an example of the ups and downs that Ljubljana has had to go through. A win against Graz on Friday, a loss against Innsbruck yesterday on Saturdays. Apart from playing like back-to-back, what do you think you can take away from the win against Graz? And what do you think you can take away from the loss against Innsbruck, where you know this has to get better for us to tack together a couple wins in a row?
Yeah, the game against Graz, I think the very positive things that we take away from that game were first and the third period. I think first period was really solid after the almost 10 days of the national team break that we had and no games. And then we come down to the second period when everything, you know, went a little sideways for us. Graz went back in the lead, and you know, we lost some focus and discipline in our defensive zone, which I think is the main problem in this season. We lose focus. We don't support each other, you know, and it's always hard if you're not on the same page. It's it's hard to do something. So third period, we bounced back. We had a great last 10 minutes of the third period. We scored two shorthanded goals. I think we have almost more goals on shorthanded than on power play this season. We tried to put that effort right back to next day against Innsbruck, which obviously didn't go our way. I think we were really close entire game. We battled through tough times, and we got back. They scored that goal for 3-2 lead, and you know, the third period, you try everything that's in your power and in your that you have that energy to get back. We had tons of chances the last period. Myself and Jaka Sodia, we had another chance going 2-on-1 on a shorthanded. Unfortunately, we didn't score. We had another 2-on-1. We had a post and everything. But, you know, time comes when nothing goes your way. And I think the positive thing that we have to take out of that game is that we didn't give up. We played till the end. And, you know, we just have to keep working hard and just go from game to game.
You almost did a great job in underselling your part in the Graz game that you played in, because you scored two goals. You assisted on another one in the third period. We're talking about your equalizer. your assist to the next goal, your goal to the 4-2 that basically drove it home. You talked about the second period that didn't go your way, where Graz took the lead. Take us, or me and listeners, inside the locker room of Olympia during that second intermission. You as one of the consummate leaders of the team, are you the one who tries to remain calm and focused, or are you the one who tries to rally the guys to really get them going for the third?
I'm kind of a guy that it's more quiet than anything else in the locker room. I think every year, every team that we have, I think they're guys that they're actually born, like naturally born for the talk and everything, you know. So there's a bunch of guys that they take over on stuff like that. But we came back after the second. We knew it was not a great period for us. We put our heads down. We talked about what we did wrong, where we have to, you know, get better, but like ASAP, because it's only 20 minutes left if you want to turn this game around, you know. And I wouldn't say that it was the talk that it's, you know, that it lead us to win the game, but I think we just said it, like, enough is enough, you know. We have to put everything back on the ice. We have to leave everything on the ice, and just to have no regrets after the game. And we had two lucky bounces of the puck on the shorthanded, like I said, and you know that brings the team, our team, where we wanted to. You know, you score one, you equalize it, you know, you get that extra energy, extra boost and everything. So I can't explain that. I know for a lot of people that can't understand that how it is, but if you're so close, you score that equalizer, other team knows that you're going to get that boost of energy because, you know, somehow you get wings and you just start flying on the ice. And that's what it happened. We scored another one on shorthanded, and then for 4-2, and you know, it's tough to hold on to that team after that. When once you get wings, you know, you keep going. So I really hope we will have plenty of games like that, because it's, you know, it's so fun to play when you're enjoying hockey. You know, when you're enjoying in hockey game, that's when you have fun. But when you have that as a must, as a job, then you know. That's where the problem starts.
Now, I say that Ljubljana, as of right now and as of this recording, is sitting in ninth place, and you'd qualify for the pre-playoffs. Obviously, not satisfying after directly qualifying for the playoffs last year. How often do you personally look at the standings and where you're currently located? Or is it just going out there and playing, and the rest will be taken care of anyways?
I mean, we know that we're not in the same situation as last year at the same time. I think last year, same time, we were actually still first place. This year, it's a little different, but, you know, there is no, I would say, no time for a panic button. You know, the season is still long. If you look at the stands, we still have like a couple games less than other teams that are ahead of us for a few points. So, you know, that gives us a lot of positive sight that we can still make it far. And, you know, we only played 18 games out of 48. So there's still plenty of hockey left in the regular season. We have a goal to make the top six, like every season. We have the same goal to make the top six, to make the playoffs, because you know you work entire year, off season, summer training and everything to actually play in the playoffs. And so we're never gonna give up. We're just gonna keep going, try to be better from game to game, and do the, you know, just do the small things. Cause I think the small things, you know, blocking shots, hitting, be a great teammate and everything. I think that brings the team even closer. And from that on, we can just, try start winning.
And if it works out, I'm sure a lot of spectators will return or come to Halle Tivoli, because one thing that does stand out is that the turnout hasn't been where you as a team probably would like to have it. Against Graz, there were a little more than 900 people in the stands. Against Innsbruck, a little less than the 900. And I've had the distinct pleasure of being at Halle Tivoli and seeing games there and seeing sold out crowds there. And I know how it feels if the place is rocking. That's not a problem that's exclusive to Ljubljana, because a lot of league teams are looking at empty stands or emptier stands. Why do you think is it a little harder this year or this season to get people and their butts into the seats at Halle Tivoli?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think last year we started a great a great page, like new page, everything with the new league, everything. I think it was a lot of curiosity and everything. So it was really great to see. We actually had, especially the beginning, September, October, till November, till the COVID hit again, and the seats would have to remain empty. I think we had like 2,000 people or 2,500 people. So it was really awesome. I mean, Tivoli, I remember the 10 years ago, or even more, when I started to play for the first or second year of pro, there was like, it was sold out, especially the rival games or some other games. It was basically sold out. The tickets were selling really fast. But, you know, now it's hard to, you know, think about what's the main problem with that. And I know in all the, like you said, you know, in all the other teams, they're struggling with the fans, they're way more empty seats than the years before. I think COVID did the damage here. I would say, you know, the people that weren't allowed to come for a couple of years, it's, you know, it's hard to get back, you know, and you, us, our team and the other teams, I think they're trying and doing their best to bring the fans back, you know. But, you know, on the other hand, you have to look at that. The team makes some money, of course, you know. You have to raise the price ticket, because, you know, for the last couple of seasons, there were empty arenas and everything. So I think I see the main issue you hear, you know, the people were, I would say they were comfortable with some ticket price that it was a little less than usually. But now, you know, when I have to raise up a little bit, you know, it gets a problem, especially with the times like now, you know, everything going up, all the food is expensive and everything. And I know for a family to go to a hockey game, you know, it costs a lot.
Not only that, we have to say that Ljubljana is one of the most beautiful European capitals. And especially on weekends, of course, there is a lot to do, and it doesn't necessarily have to be hockey. But if Slovenian fans or Austrian fans are listening to this, and if they ever want to have a great weekend, why not go to Ljubljana, enjoy the bars, the great restaurants, and take in a hockey game or two on a weekend? Highly recommended to visit Halle Tivoli. When we look at the return of Olimpia Ljubljana, and I've already mentioned it, you've played so much hockey and you've seen so many places and you've been in so many crazy games. But last year's quarterfinal playoff series against Villach, where does that rank in your career in terms of craziness and just the shit that's been going on in that series?
It was a great series. We made it all the way to the game seven. I think that's every player's kind of on a checklist to to, you know, to see through your own eyes, to, you know, to live that, that you actually have that deciding game to go forward. And like I said, it was an unbelievable series with all the things that been going on through the season. And in that series, we were up the score results were unbelievable that series. It was like 8-6, it was 7-5, it was 5-2, like unbelievable. Like basically we play with no defense. We were just going up and down. But yeah, it's great to see. Where would I put the series? I think it was, especially with the game 7, I would put it at like a really high top, because you know, you some players, some people, they don't get the chance to, you know, to live that, to see that, or to, you know, to play game 7. And you know, here it's all about hockey. And when you look at back, you work for it entire year, you're at the rink most of the times, you see the teammates basically more times than your own family, you know, then you realize that, you know, this is worth for it, and let's just put everything out what's left, and we'll see at the end what the score is going to be. And we really you know, we really hoped and wanted to hit the semifinals, but you know, unfortunately it didn't go our way last year. So like I said, you come back stronger, you come back, you know, with more experience for those games, and that's just the positive thing that you have to take out.
And you just mentioned that the scores were crazy, the goals were crazy, the intensity was crazy. A great playoff series that we at Pulse 24 were at times part of, and it was really great to see you at Halle Tivoli as well. Someone we took with us to Halle Tivoli sent me something about you for this conversation. I specifically asked him, you know what, I'm going to have Shiga Panse here on the show. Could you tell me a little more about him and what he's all about? A former coach of yours, our pundit at Pulse 24. He's none other than Greg Holst. This is what he sent me. We're going to listen in and then we're going to discuss it.
In 2016, I was working at FELAC, working with the kids in the development side of the organization. Reluctantly, when they fired the coach on the first team in December, I took over. And I didn't know most of the players, maybe just walking by in the hallway saying hi. So I was going into a completely different situation. So I remember our first meeting, J.P. Lamoureux basically had saved this team for a couple of years with his great play. So anyway, I took the team over. We changed our culture. We went to four lines, which we had to create the speed, which is tough for guys to buy into. I understand that. But we did, and we started blocking shots, and we turned this around. And two of the key players, two players that were absolutely instrumental in our success, were Sigurd Panse and Rick Schofield. And I put these guys together, and they had this chemistry. Panse had great speed, scored big goals for us, led the team in scoring, with Scovey right behind him. It was so much fun to watch. The fans had a great time. And I have one funny story. It was Siggy would be on the bench, and I remember, I think I probably did the same thing when I was a young player. He always wanted to get on the ice. And, you know, we had a roll of four lines. So he'd be always close to me, and he'd always turn around and look at me on the bench. And I know what he was doing. He's just letting me know where he is, and he wants to go on all the time. And I finally had to tell him, because I had a kind of a chuckle to myself. I said, Panse, just watch the game. The more you look at me, I'm not going to put you on the ice. So we did have a chuckle. Watch the game. I'm going to tap you on the back to get you out there. But that was kind of a funny little story. I wonder if he remembers it. I hope he does, because we had a great time together. And you know what? I went into management about a month before the season was over. And we didn't know we were going to get to the semifinals, upsetting Vienna in five in overtime. And we lost Santarelli, McBride. But with these two players leading the way, we also had Joner, Hunter, complete warriors. And we had some good Austrian kids. You know, really interesting. I said, look, you got to sign Pansy and you got to sign Skove. I have no contract. I don't know what I'm doing next year. But sign these two. They have some magic. They did not sign them. They thought maybe after the season they would get them cheaper. Huge mistake. I believe Pansy went on to play in Slovakia and Skove went on to play in Linz. That was a mistake by the management. But I tell you what, I had a lot of fun working with his team and working especially with Pansy and Skove. He has a really nice family. I wish him all the best in the future. And our time together was short-lived, unfortunately. But that's the way it goes in hockey sometimes. All the best to Pansy.
Says a lot about Holste, how much he remembers, how vividly remembers, and obviously he's a great storyteller. After having listened to those 3 minutes, what goes through your head right now?
lots of stuff. I mean, Greg, I think, like you said, we had a really special relationship. I had a really special relationship with him. For me, one of the top, I would say, two, three coaches that I have in my career. And Hanu was there at the beginning of the season as a coach. He got fired. I was injured the time that he got fired. I think I had shoulder problems and I lost a few weeks of games. And when I got back, Greg took over, and I don't know, it was just something that he did. By that time, you know, you don't see those kind of things. Then you don't realize what he's done, you know, with the system and everything. You just, you know, you just play and play and play. But now when you look it back, he really did the right decision, the right choice. He went on four lines, put me in Skov together. And I think until today, by far the best, I would say, point wise and goals and everything, the best season that I had in my career. And you know, he was able to take from each player 100%. You know, he said the right thing to every each one of us. And you know, he prepared you so that you gave 100%. And there are not a lot of coaches that I work with in my career that they're able to do that.
How do you remember the instance or instances that Greg Holst mentioned you being so close to him, always looking at him, always letting him know, coach, I'm ready, send me out on the ice? Did that indeed happen?
I'm 100% that it happened, because you know, when you're into a game, you know, you try to be on the ice as much as possible. You know, you try to help the team. You know, because you know, in my mind, when I'm on the bench, you know, I'm saying to myself, Jesus, you know, I can't help it from here. Put me on, you know, and stuff like that, and just to turn. You know, and give him the eye contact and everything. I just wanted to, you know, like he said, I just wanted him to know that I'm ready, put me on whatever you want, you know, just like that. And I think a lot of players does that, you know, and I don't know, that's just in our nature that, of course, you want to have as much ice time as you can, because only on the ice you can help the team, you know, win a game. And that year, like I said, when Greg took over, it was like someone would just put a switch on and it was completely different story. You know, we were winning games and we went to the playoffs, and I think we played with Vienna, and we had an unbelievable streak, but you know, at the end it didn't work out. So our path, you know, went away, and you know, you never know what would happen if I would stay there or go to some other team. But you know, it is what it is.
Obviously, only the club and yourself know why it didn't work out. But it's an interesting period of time in your career, also according to the Unibet stats, because you had already come off 2 years in Bolzano. You had your first year in Villach, and it was kind of the starting point for you moving around considerably, because the year after you played in Klagenfurt, the year after you played in Dornbirn, the year after you played for Jeges Medvec in Slovakia, then for Slovan in Slovakia, and then you finally returned quote-unquote home to Olympia. Was that plan to take in as many different hockey programs and countries as possible, or was it more a coincidence where hockey life led you?
No, there was no plan to do the path like I did. I mean, if I would have an option, and you know, financially, everything wise, I would have stayed on the same team, you know, of course. But I think in basically every team that I've been, I had an option to stay. In Bolzano, after the second year, they offered me another contract for a year, like I think it was a 2 year contract. But you know, on other side, I had two options that year. I either go to Villach or go to Fehervar. Fehervar, I Hanu, who was also my coach in Ljubljana, and Frank Benham that I play with, which we were still in touch after so many years. We just got together this summer, and he actually asked me to come there. It's his last year, that you know, to finish his career with him and everything. And I, in my mind, I kind of was ready to go to Fehervar, but on the other hand, I, you know, it's Austrian league, you know, you have to, you know, to get more chances and to, you know, to develop better and everything, you got to go to the Austrian team, you know? And so I decided to go to Villach, and I don't regret it at all. It was amazing year. It was unbelievable year. Like I said, by far my best year in my career, and I couldn't ask for more. You know, they were unbelievably polite, nice to me, to my family. My wife that time was pregnant with the first child, and they took care of everything. You know, it was amazing. And then the Villach story came to an end. They actually offered me something. I think it was a year or 2 year contract. They offered me something. We couldn't get, you know, you couldn't get together and everything. So and then I got an offer from Klagenfurt. I know this is a huge rivalry and everything, you know, but I'm still, you know, sad how people, especially the Villach fans, reacted when I signed there. You know, it hurts me as a player to see the Villach fans when 1 year they cheered for it and the year later they, you know, kind of hated you because you went there. But for me, it was just to, you know, I went for another job. You know, it was nothing personal, nothing against Villach and everything. It was really hard to feel like, because I saw, you know, everyone against me, and, you know, it hurts your feelings for sure. But, you know, you after that, you get stronger and stronger. And then the year in Klagenfurt, it wasn't my best. I had lots of ups and downs. Still at the end, we made it all the way to the finals. I think right before the playoffs, I came back into the scoring shape right at the right time and everything. We went all the way to the finals, and after the season, we went to the World Championship to Paris, where the A group tournament was upon us. And the day before we had to start with the first game, I blocked the shot. I broke my leg, and I was out for 8 weeks. So after that, it's different. It's not the path you chose. You just have to work with what you have, what you get. You know, the injuries, you know, they don't wait for you. They happen. And after that, I went to Dornbirn. We had a great season. We went to the playoffs after a while for them. And then all of a sudden there was no interest in me from the Ava League. So yeah, that's that.
I think what it shows is that it's a business decision, that it's human beings playing a sport, and that's always important for fans to remember that there are reasons why you take another job offer, and that it's nothing against one team or the other. But it's especially interesting jumping or going from Villach to Klagenfurt. I mean, the equivalent in Ljubljana or in Slovenia would be going from Ljubljana to Jesenice. Could that be something that you might consider one day? Or is that the one thing where you say, probably not going to play for Jesenice? Never say never?
I mean, never say never, you know? Never say never. But, you know, I'm at the point of my career where, you know, you feel comfortable at home, you know, your family is taken care of and everything. So, but, you know, my wish so far before I finish my career is to play with my brother. And he's right now in Jesenice. He signed a 2-year deal. This is my last year of a contract in Ljubljana. So we'll see what happens. You know, we haven't talked about the next year. You know, it's still early in the season. You start with talks like that. After New Year's, and we'll see where that will go. I mean, I still haven't said no to go outside of Slovenia. You know, even though I accomplished a lot in hockey, or I put through a lot of teams that I went through, and you still have that will, that motivation, you know, that you want to compete, and you want to show that you can still play at that level somewhere else, not just in your hometown, you know, and working hard every year, every summer, you know, through the season, and hopefully everything will be taken care of after the season.
Just for all the fans who haven't maybe followed the entire Panzer family, Eric is currently and also has last year destroyed the Alps Hockey League with his scoring and with his assists. Incredible pace that is on, and it truly would be great to just imagining you two playing together could be something very special. Not really important where it does happen, but because of you playing in Ljubljana, and if one looks at the Instagram account of Olympia or the Facebook account, a lot of advertisements, a lot of things promoting the games evolves around you. And I very knowingly labeled you a Slovenian hockey icon at the very beginning of this conversation, knowing that you're on a lot of billboards, knowing that you're doing a lot of charity for the club, knowing that you're meeting a lot of fans. How is it being in the spotlight, having to do so many things off of the ice? Is that always something that you're glad to be doing, or is there a time where you think, oh, Jesus, I just want to have a couple more hours of spare time?
No, actually, it's my pleasure to do it, especially when it comes down to a charity. Or a few weeks ago when we played for young Urban, who has a disease that he needs medication that costs €2 million. We raised the money for that, and I take that as part of my job. You know, I take that just something that you have to do it as a, you know, as a public figure and everything. You just kind of have to do it to be being a part of it, and I was born and raised in Ljubljana. I was, my first team was Olimpia, and you want to give everything back to, to the community, and and help for it, because at the end it's your hometown, it's everything, you just try your best to give them back, and hopefully we'll try and do that for many more years.
As we near the end of this conversation, I'm so thankful that you've already taken so much time of your valuable free time. It's a free Sunday at the very least. One thing we need to talk about is the state of Slovenian hockey. You've been a cornerstone of the Slovenian national team for many, many years. You've always been there. You played every tournament. But when one looks at the current roster, or at very least the roster that got promoted to the A group again last season, there is a golden generation of Slovenian hockey, but it's a generation that gets older by the year. The average age of last year's World Championship squad was, according to the Unibet stats, at over 31 years. Is there a next golden generation in Slovenian hockey on the horizon?
Well, I really hope so. I think there definitely a few years of gap is there coming up. From what I'm following or hearing here and there, a lot of young guys are going to Austria, Klagenfurt, to Switzerland, to develop themselves, to Sweden, Finland, and everything. So the generation that is out there right now, I don't know them because they're way younger than I am. But, you're following up, you're hearing from this coach, that coach, and I think it's coming up, it's... I'm not afraid for the Slovenian national team future. They will take over once we, retire and go out of that. Hopefully we will stay in the elite group now for for a while. It's been a bumpy road for the Slovenian national team, going up and down from A to pool A to pool B and stuff like that. So hopefully we stop with that and we stay there.
Now, after having quoted Unibet a couple times already, just to let people know, Unibet has a special offer for all new customers out there. It's a 400% welcome bonus. Just use the promo code HOCKEY-BONUS while putting €10 into your new account for the first time and receive €40 for free. That's right, for free. More details in the show notes of this podcast. As always, Unibet by players, for players. as you've talked about the national team and everything that goes into it, how important is it for Slovenia and for Slovenian hockey to have a team in the Malta National Ice Hockey League and also have a team in the Alps Hockey League?
Yeah, I think it's very important to have as many teams on a high level as we can, because, you know, there are not a lot of registered players in Slovenia. You know, I think it's just a little over 1,000. We have, what, 6-7 rings. And from what we have, I think we're doing our best to reach those, those accomplishments that we did. We qualified for the Olympic Games twice. We were many times in Pool A and everything. So with that small amount of players that we have on, you know, that the coach can choose from to build a Slovenian national team, every player that gets hurt or it's missing, you know, you can see, because it's not a lot of players that he can choose from and then, you know, just, oh, this guy is missing, oh, we'll just take another one. It doesn't go like that in here in Slovenia, you know. Like I said, hopefully Jesenice team will also come back to the league in the nearest future, because I think people in Slovenia, they need those rivalry games on the highest level. You know, they always been there. Hopefully they always will be there. And they just have to work and push for it to come to that league. So, you know, maybe even people, the fans will return when they will see, you know, the Olympia Jesenice battle on the highest level possible that those teams can play. And even for all the other teams like Slavia, Triglav, Maribor, and those teams, it would be really nice to see that they make to the Alps League, because, you know, for the development for young players, it's really something. You know, you get the chance to play on a higher level, higher league than they play right now. They develop themselves, you know, and they for sure get a chance in Jesenice or in Olympia to, you know, to make that step forward. And after that, if you're good enough and if you, you know, if you're smart enough, then you get the chance to play any other European league.
Really hoping that the things you mentioned do come true. Having Jesenice back in the first league would be really great. Having those derby games again, even greater. And Jigar, we've already made it through an entire conversation without talking about what happened on April 13th, 2014. What does come to mind when I mention that day to you?
Yeah, that was, for me, the best moment in my career. I think that's something that no one can take that away from me. I don't know, it brings back especially the memories, you know, the feeling that when you win the league, the feeling that, you know, you're at the top, you're on the top, and, you know, all those sacrifices and everything that you did through the season, through your career, you know, it finally paid off. You know, it's unbelievable feeling. And until today, like I said, for me, the best highlight of my career, I would never trade or change for anything else. It was that year was really tough. I left Ljubljana I was waiting for the team. I had a few offers, but not an offer that to worth mentioning, you know. And after that, Bolzano offer came in. First from the start was actually a tryout, and and then Tom Pokal, coach that was there, me and I, we got along really fast, and everything else, like I said, it's history. You know, it was an amazing year. We didn't have the best team, we didn't have the most skilled team, but we sure had the best chemistry on the team. We were so connected to each other, and you know, and I think until today, I still think that that's the main key for our success that year. You know.
And of course, we were talking about the championship winning goal in the 13-14 finals for Bolzano. And as we started the conversation talking about the ups and downs of Ljubljana, hopefully with a lot of ups incoming, let's finish this with your personal career highlight. So far, still a long career ahead of yourself. Really glad that you took such extensive time. Really enjoyed talking to you, and one guarantee, not only for you but all the Olympia fans out there, it won't take another 99 episodes to have a member of Olympia Ljubljana here on Unibet Hockey O'Clock. Sigur, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you very much for having me over, for having me on that podcast. It was a pleasure, and I hopefully will do many more of those.
Exzellente Unterhaltung mit dem schönsten Sport der Welt.
Unibet Hockey O'Clock.